It's Arts ID, a special edition. I'm Robin Pressman in the studio with David Templeton. And we're next going to visit two local writers who have plays opening or recently opened here in Sonoma County on the stage.
Well, I'm in the studio with Gene Aubervilla and Elliot Fintichel. So, Gene and Elliot, you're both writers and you're both actors. So I want to start off by asking, which is easier, writing or acting?
Well, for me, absolutely acting. Taking somebody else's words and creating a character.
Elliot?
Oh, I'd be hard put to choose. I mean, they're just both a romp for me until you start deciding whether what you've done is good or bad. But I just love it. It's like, it's like uncapping oil wells. Although, you know, it might not be oil or it might be Wesson oil instead of gold.
So, Gene, with acting being easier, does that mean it's more satisfying?
Oh, I think writing is much more satisfying. But it's much more terrifying also because you can always hide behind a character. When you've written something, you've basically offered the world a part of yourself. And whether it's accepted after that or not, that's a very scary thing.
Well, right now you are both in rehearsals on shows that sprung from your written words. Gene, you've got a play that you wrote, and Elliot, the piece that you're working on with the Imaginist came originally from short stories.
Right.
So I'd like each of you to tell me what that process has been like in transforming your printed word into stage work that other people are doing.
Well, I don't know how to describe it. It's a combination of joy and actually even a little sadness too. To see your work transformed from the page to the stage, joy when it's successful, sad when you know it needs work and it's not the actor's fault, it's yours, and it's ennobling, but it's also humbling at the same time.
Yeah, my situation's a little different because all the pieces from which this stage work comes were all originally written to be read. They were short stories, although one was written as a futuristic stand-up monologue in a crazy dystopian world, and that's done as a monologue. So it's wild to see that done and to see the person who does the monologue, Brandon Wilson, who's actually a stand-up comic, performing it as if for this audience of the future. But for the others, they had to be changed into a dramatic format to begin with. And I feel really lucky to be working with the Imaginists, with Brent Lindsay and Amy Pinto, who just have the most startling, fertile imagination, so that they're taking my stories and rendering them for stage. It's like watching a two-dimensional object just blow up into four dimensions. And I give them totally free range. They can change the words. They can change whatever they want because the result, I know, is always astonishing.
So, Elliot, you were nodding when Gene was talking about the sadness part of this process. Do you identify with that on some level?
Let's see. The simplest way for me to put it is that everything is absolutely perfect, and that moment before the pen touches the paper. And for a short while afterwards, it's very good, and you can prolong it by drinking lots of coffee. But then entropy sets in. You know, a day later, it's crap. 2 days later, and it's worse than crap. The best thing I've found, actually, and this is just with short stories where you submit them to magazines and so on, is not to read it yourself, even as you're typing it, and put it directly in the envelope and send it to the editor before entropy gets a chance to set in and it decays and becomes bad.
Gene, do you identify with that?
Well, I do. Mine's a stage piece, and I've been watching my material being rehearsed for weeks and weeks and weeks. There comes a time where you start to second guess yourself. You start to say, "Is that really funny? I don't know anymore if that is really funny." You start to worry that it wasn't really good in the first place, you know, that kind of thing. You work really hard to make it good, and then you go, I don't know anymore.
Do you ever have the opposite, where you write something that you think, well, this is okay, but it's not as good as the next joke, and then you realize in rehearsal, actually, in the mouths of the actors, it's pretty funny or pretty great?
Well, that's the wonderful part about it. That's the most thrilling part about it, is when you have written something that you think is good, and then you see it actually executed, and it works. And it works. And what's even better are the times that you just described, that you thought something was maybe going to be supportive of a line that you've written, and an actor comes along and adds their talent and their depth and imagination and creativity, and suddenly you see something that's so much more of a whole than you envisioned. And that's why, even though you start with a playwright's words, it's still a collaborative process, and it will always be a collaborative process.
You know what's interesting with the Pulitzer Awards? Those are judged purely on what's written on the page. In most cases, they prefer to have never seen a production of that. The Pulitzer Committee, they read the script and they determine whether it's working on the page, and then they decide what's a worthy or unworthy recipient of this greatest prize. And yet, everybody who talks about theater work views the script as just kind of a bouncing off point to the real magic, which is what's on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And yet clearly the Pulitzer people are saying it's the opposite, that the purest version of this play is what's on the page. Oh. How do you guys feel about that?
Well, my understanding is quite different from that. And I mean, it's the same as music. Unless one is oneself a really accomplished musician, you can't understand a piece of music from seeing the score. And if you read the score literally as it's written, it's not going to be music. It'll be horrible. to cases with my pieces, for example, they really change. They have to change texture when they're on the stage. And I have the strange experience not only of having written it and seeing it performed, but I have some parts in the play. So here, like in Forbidden Planet, this world that I imagined is looming up all around me, and I'm seeing at one point Santa Claus being shot up by a Kalashnikov in one play, in Santa Side, and in another one, in We From Afar, an alien is gangbanged by females of the future. And I mean, these are matters of a phrase on a piece of paper, but it takes on quite a different aspect when it's happening around you in real time and real space.
One last question for both of you. Do you think being actors makes you a better writer?
The most that I ever learned about the art of writing was from participating in improvisation workshops, learning how to be responsive to the material that was coming before me from my own hands and how to respond to it and to the questions that it posed one after the next freshly, so that one continually surprises oneself.
I think it enables me, being an actor, enables me to take on each of the characters and to try on each of the characters and explore what they would say in their own individual voices.
So as you're getting ready to watch the premieres of your shows, what's going on? How would you describe your emotional state?
Oh, I feel like a kid being let loose into a playground, and the playground is looming up around me as Brent builds it.
I'm scared.
That both sound like perfectly sane responses to the creative process.
Jean Abravaya's The Final Scene is now running at 6th Street Playhouse. It runs through March 27th, and you can find out more about that at 6thstreetplayhouse.com. Elliot Fintichel's We From Afar opens this Friday at the Imaginist Theater Collective in Santa Rosa, and it runs through March 26th. You can find out more at theimaginist.org.